So very thankful to see everyone this morning. For those that have been sick, that are able to be back with us. For those that have been away on journeys and had safety to return to us, we're thankful in all of these things for the answering of our prayers. And of course, our prayers continue to be with those that are sick and those that are away from us. I want to give a little bit of an update on Keely. She had an appointment Thursday, this past Thursday, with a diabetes specialist and also a dietitian in Birmingham. Well, at 2 o'clock that morning, the Ruben and Holly, as you know, were with us Wednesday night. At 2 o'clock that morning, she got up and was not feeling well. So they went ahead and got ready, left our house at about 6 in order to make it to Birmingham at 8. And on the way, she threw up about 3 times. And since she was going to see what was called wellness doctors, they would not see her when they arrived. So they have to reschedule. And look like we have deja vu all over again this coming Wednesday and Thursday, as the appointment is also set for 8 o'clock this coming Thursday morning. But her sugar levels have been a little high, but they've also been low as well. Not too low, but should continue to be thankful for the prayers that you prayed in her behalf. I want us to remind ourselves that Paul, in Romans 15 and verse 4, said the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So that there are many things that we would do well to learn from the Old Testament. And I'm sure that as far as the victory that Joshua and the children of Israel had with the city of Jericho, which was the first city that they encountered when they finally were able to enter the promised land, that this is a song that even I'm sure you as well as I remember as a small child in Bible classes. We would sing the song, What Made the Walls of Jericho Fall. So this is something that is, I think, familiar with most all of us, the story of the fall of Jericho. But I hope that we can understand some things that are very important that we need to understand. And hopefully as we understand them, then we can be able to teach others, others of our family, others of our friends, our work associates. Let us understand that this fall of the city of Jericho was a gift from God. It's in Joshua chapter 6. That we read in verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. This was a statement that God made to Joshua before they ever did anything in regards to Jericho. This is a statement that he made to Joshua before the walls of Jericho had fallen. And yet notice what he says, I have given Jericho into your hand. He speaks of it as if it were past tense, something that had already occurred. But yet we know that when it is that God has promised something, that God never fails in his promises. But notice he also said, I have given. That indicates that what God is doing to Joshua and the children of Israel is a gift. I have given unto thee Jericho into your hands. But you know, what we need to understand concerning gifts is something that many people fail to understand. And that is, gifts often are given to those that are deserving. But in the case of the children of Israel, they were not deserving. We see that in Exodus 14, for instance, beginning with verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. This is as they are leaving Egypt. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Here in the very outset of the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, we see their attitude. We see their attitude being reflected in these words, that as they look behind them and see Pharaoh in pursuit of them and the fear that they had, notice what this caused to have within them in the thoughts of their hearts. But this isn't the only example. Let's look a chapter further. In Exodus 15, in verse 23, it says, now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we do? It wasn't later on in the journey that here we find them complaining. They're unable to drink. And then even in the next chapter, Exodus 16, look what we read in verses 2 and 3. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And yet now we read in the book of Joshua in chapter 6 that God is saying, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. I have given. God has given Israel a gift for which they surely did not deserve. And not only that, God gave them all of the land of promise, the promised land. In the latter end of Joshua's life, in chapter 21, we read in verse 43, right at the beginning, so the Lord gave to Israel all of the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all of their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all of their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing that the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. Notice, all came to pass. God gave them all of the land of Israel, to a people that truly, all through their history that we read, did not deserve any of the things that God gave unto them. Do we deserve salvation? You know, we're told in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're told in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Do we deserve salvation? No, we deserve to die. Really and truly. To be honest with ourselves, to be honest with the situation that happened, we deserve to die. The children of Israel weren't an amazing people. And we are not an amazing people. But he is. God is. God is such amazing that Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What we need to understand concerning this gift that God gave to the children of Israel in the form of Jericho, that the gift was given conditionally. Now, again, what we read there in verse 2, he states, "The Lord, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and its mighty men of battle." But I also want us to notice there in Joshua 6, verses 3 through 5, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all of the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." You see, what we see in the verse that we just read is that the men of war were to march around the city once a day for 6 days. There were to be 7 priests in this company. These 7 priests were to have 7 ram's horns. And they were to march before the Ark of the Covenant. And then, on the 7th day, they were to march 7 times. When that was done, the priests were to blow the trumpets. And when the people heard the trumpets, all of the people were to shout. And as God said, the walls of the city will fall down flat. What if the children of Israel had said, "That just doesn't make any sense. What on earth could possibly our marching around the city, blowing trumpets and shouting, have to do with a mighty walled city as Jericho was, those walls falling flat on the ground?" But you know, if they had not marched, would the walls have fallen? Would they? You know the answer to that. Because what we're seeing here is that we hear people today. We hear people today say that, "Oh, you know, salvation is a gift of God." And it is. You know, in Romans chapter 6, we read this verse just a minute ago, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So yes, salvation is a gift of God. But when people make that statement, that "don't you know that salvation is a gift of God," what they're really saying is, and what they do say, is that a gift is free. That a gift is free, or else it's not a gift. And because it is a gift, and because it is free, then we don't have to do anything in order to have salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. And their concept of a gift is no strings attached. Anything that is attached, no longer is it a gift. Well, is that so? It's a very commonly held opinion, a belief that many people have, but is it so? Does that statement harmonize with what the scriptures teach? You know, the gift that God gave to Israel in giving them Jericho, it was a gift that was given conditionally. And we need to understand that doing something to receive a gift does not make it any less of a gift. And I think that what we're studying here is as good of an example as you'll find, that I'll find, that anybody can find, to show that a gift even though there may be conditions attached to it, does not make it any less of a gift. The scriptures gives us the conditions. We read them just a moment ago, and what we read there in Joshua 6, verses 3 through 5. Now, in terms of our salvation, that is a gift of God. We read in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See that word if? That word if expresses conditions. And there are two conditions that are given in this passage. One is if you confess. That's one condition. The other condition is if you believe. That's the other condition. So two conditions are given because we see that it is if. And if always indicates the setting forth of a condition. Repentance is a condition. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repentance is a condition. Baptism is a condition. In Acts 22 and verse 16, and now while you waiting, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So the scriptures gives us the conditions that must be met in order for our salvation, because our salvation is a gift from God. Just as we see the conditions that God gave to Joshua for the children of Israel to do in order for the walls of Jericho to fall down. For God to give them that gift of Jericho. And yet, despite these conditions, guess what? Salvation is a gift. You know, many will accept faith as a condition, but not baptism. Most all of the religious world, most all of the Protestant religious world requires faith. So, faith is a condition. And they will accept faith as a condition for salvation, this free gift. But they will not accept baptism because they say baptism is a work. And they're very quick to quote and to emphasize Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We hear that passage used quite often to show that salvation is a gift. Gifts are free, and there's nothing you have to do. There's no works that you have to do in order to be saved. And yet, let us realize this. And let us realize it to the point that maybe we can be able to be successful at teaching someone. Let us realize that baptism is no more of a work than believing. Believing is a work. John 6, verses 28 and 29, Jesus, our Savior, look what he says. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me. Jesus very clearly states the fact that faith, belief, is a work. Now, if baptism won't save, because, as I say, it is a work, then neither will faith save, because faith is a work. But we are saved by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." But also, we're saved by works. Peter says by baptism in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." How can we reject baptism and accept faith? Yes, faith, we're saved through faith, but baptism doth also now save us. And in fact, while we're on the subject of faith, going back to Joshua and the city of Jericho, the city of Jericho was taken by faith. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 30. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. What do we see then? What's to be learned in what the Hebrew writer now talks about concerning Jericho? What he's saying is that their faith was an obedient faith. Because notice what it says, the walls fell. Notice what that says? After they were compassed about 7 days. What's that saying? Did the walls fall the moment that Israel believed that the walls would fall? Is that when they fell? No. You know, and yet the majority of people that I know think that they were saved the moment that they believed Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Well, then let's ask ourselves, why didn't the walls of Jericho fall the moment Israel believed God when he said they would fall? We're saved by faith. Are we saved the moment that we believe that God can save us? I think there's another example that we need to look at, also here in Hebrews. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." We're familiar with Noah, I would hope. Noah's faith saved him from the destruction of the flood. But notice what the passage says. He moved with fear and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now I've got a question. Did God save Noah? Or did the ark save Noah? I think it's a valid question. Did God save Noah, or did the ark save Noah? God saved Noah, but it was on condition that Noah build the ark. That's not difficult to understand. That's very simple to understand. God saved Noah But Noah would not have been saved, even though God was assuring him of salvation and offering him salvation, had he not built the ark. You know, there are many people that went over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, which says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." They take this verse, they read this verse, and they want us to believe that we're saved by faith only. But you know the real question? The real question is, what kind of faith? There's no doubt about it that we're saved by faith. But what kind of faith? Consider what we read in Romans 1 and verse 5. "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." Notice that? Obedience to the faith. And then in Romans 16, notice what we read in verse 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Yes, we're saved by faith, but without exception, we see that the scriptures shows it to be an obedient faith. A faith that obeys, not faith only. You know, it's truly amazing that there are so many people who believe that they're saved the moment they believe. Saved by faith and faith only. And yet, the only time that we read in the scriptures of where faith only does appear, it's in James chapter 2, verse 24. And here's what it says. "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." You know, I find that to be truly amazing. Absolutely amazing. And yet, people go right on believing in salvation by faith only. Here's what I hope that we have learned in our study. I hope that we have learned that we can see that the victory of Israel over the city of Jericho was a gift from God. I hope that we have learned from this lesson that we have learned that gifts can come with conditions which have to be met before the gift can be received. I hope we've learned these things. And another thing, I hope that we see how that Israel had to meet those conditions before the walls of Jericho fell. Those conditions had to be met. And I hope in this lesson we have learned that there is a parallel here with God's gifts. God gave Jericho to Israel, a gift. But he gave that gift on condition. And God's gift of salvation to you and I and to everyone else that is in this world living today, that God's gift of salvation is on condition. So I hope that the ultimate lesson that we can learn from all of this is that doing something to receive a gift does not make it any less of a gift. It's still a gift. It's because we don't deserve it. That's why it's called grace. Something that we have, but we do not deserve. But the only way we can have it is when we meet the conditions. This morning, have you met the conditions for the forgiveness of sin? Or are you one of those that's convinced that salvation is a gift and you don't have to do anything when it comes to a gift? Study this lesson. Think about this lesson. Not just in the case of Jericho, but in all of the other examples. Take the whole book of Hebrews 11 and see what by faith God did, but yet what had to be done on the part of individuals. And that's the way it's always been with God. God promises, but we must meet conditions in order to receive those promises. If you're here and do not obey the gospel, hear his word. Believe it, as we said, let's meet the conditions. If we are willing, as the passage that we read just a moment ago, if we're willing to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, if we're willing to repent of our sins, if we're willing to be baptized, it will result in the forgiveness of sin. If you're here and you've obeyed that gospel, but yet the gift does not mean all that much to you because you've allowed sin in your life. You're not living your life as you should. You're not faithful as you ought to be. Realize what a precious, great gift this is. What all that it costs God, and what little in return that God expects of us. Yes, Jesus paid the price, but you and I must meet the conditions to gain access to that blood for which the price was paid for our sins. If you're subject and we can assist you to either of these ends, please let it be known by coming to the front. All together we stand to sing.